Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I am Boyd Hilton. I happen to work at Heat Magazine with two glorious colleagues who are in front of me right now, Steph Seelan and Kay Ribeiro. Welcome.
I don't know why I laughed at that, because it's absolutely true. We are glorious.
Factually true, and that's who we are, and those are our names.
And we like to think of this as the world's leading pop culture slash mostly TV podcast, where we review four major things on TV. So we've got to do some film scene.
Is this like the fourth week of us doing TV?
Kay shaking her head.
Yeah, no, because there's been a lot of good TV. We can ignore it.
There has. I mean, let's say this is a deliberate thing on our part, a tactic, let's call it.
Yeah.
Because this is, we're in the middle of the busiest time for television. It's the autumn TV season, okay?
Absolutely.
Every channel's got huge big things starting. And like this week alone, we're doing Dr. Foster Series 2. Huge. Yes. Tin Star, Sky Atlantic's huge new 10-hour epic drama series starring Tim Roth. Cold Feet Series 2, starting on ITV next Friday. Yes, they're showing on Fridays. Weird, but they are.
What?
And maybe not quite so big, Cannonball on ITV.
I beg to differ.
Okay, but for me, this is a classic fluff slot.
So it's
in the fluff slot. Okay. It might be the biggest fluff we've ever had.
I think you're the biggest and longest fluff we've ever had. Okay.
But well. Boyd, you've been somewhere.
I've been to the Edinburgh TV
Festival.
You've
got a tan. No, I'm joking. You've been to Edinburgh.
I was in a conference centre for 3 days, yeah. I was at the Edinburgh TV Festival, the world's leading international festival of television. It's more of a conference, really. It's where the whole industry gathers, and lots of people who want to make TV shows and get them shown on TV gather, and all the bigwigs are there for all the channels. And I did many things. I was working. I hosted a session with the outgoing head of Channel 4, Jay Hunt, and we went over her life and career.
Bake Off buyer,
and had a whole section where she revealed exclusively, I believe, a couple of things. It was her idea to get Noel Fielding in.
Well done, Jay.
And also, I asked her outright, how many viewers does she want in tomorrow? So this will be going, if you're listening to this Tuesday is when it's supposed to go out. We're recording it earlier, FYI. So Bake Off's on tonight. And so I said, how many viewers do you need in
Lots.
The overnight?
Do you need/want? Need to prove that it was the right decision.
Well, this is the answer. So she said she needs 3 million to break even. 3 million. I mean, if it gets 3 million, they'll be devastated. It was getting 14 million on BBC One.
That's what I was going to write. Okay.
So... But she
3 million to break even?
Yeah, to break financially, break even on the 75 million they spent on.
They're going
to
do 3 mil easy, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
Of course they are.
They'll be devastated if it's less than 4 or 5. I think it would get like 5.5.
Okay, hold on. So tonight it's going out. Okay. Yeah. Come on, let's support
Wednesday,
this
everyone
lady.
Will know. And it'll be big headlines. So if it gets like 7-8, that's huge for Channel 4. Nothing on Channel 4 gets up over 5 million, really. Gogglebots gets like 4-ish. So that's, if you think about it,
interesting.
Yeah.
Nothing gets more than 5 million on Channel 4. I think this is why they bought it then.
Yeah, it is why they bought it. Yeah. So that was interesting. And then I went to loads of sessions and got to find out what's happening. Like exciting news, like Alan Partridge is coming back to the BBC.
Oh, yes.
They're doing a 25-year anniversary before the end of the year, like an hour-long special commemorating his 25 years of the BBC. And then a whole new series next year, which is going to be like a chat show / magazine show, like the one show meets.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Give the audience what they want.
Yeah, and Alan's going to be obsessed with Brexit. So that's exciting.
Of course he is.
Oh my God, it's so
there's loads of things like that. New League of Gentlemen, that's coming back for two specials. Lots of really exciting things. But the most exciting moment of all...
Come on.
You look really excited.
You do look excited.
You never look excited.
The advisory chair of the whole Edinburgh TV Festival is a guy called Diederik Santa.
From EastEnders? Right.
He's not in EastEnders.
No.
He was the boss of EastEnders in the glory days.
Such a good name.
Diederik.
So no, great. Santa.
Well, I mean, all of it. And you pronounce it Santa.
He's very tall, Santa, Santa. He's about 7 foot tall. He's a TV bigwig. He was in charge of EastEnders.
Kay just gave me the twinkly eyes. Have you met him? Is he?
Oh yeah, Kay.
Is he very handsome?
Listen, I like a tall gentleman. You know that.
Yeah.
But also, I love EastEnders.
Kay is literally half.
And Grantchester, which he's in charge of, was in charge of.
Well,
I think.
This is what I was going to say. So his current job, he's creative chief of Kudos Productions, and they make Humans, Broadchurch, Grantchester, The Tunnel, River, Capital, Utopia. And Man in an Orange Shirt. And this is what it all comes down to. So he listened to the podcast where I reviewed Man in an Orange Shirt.
Our
podcast.
Just us three little people.
This is just me telling us how great we are. As advisory chair, he literally took me aside before my session with Jay Hunt.
Did you think you were in trouble?
He gave me a pep talk.
pep talk.
Literally, that's how hands-on he is. So he literally called me son, gave me a little pep talk.
He's Santa's little helper.
He's incredible. And he goes, you know, you'll be great, boy. Blah, 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 blah. Gave me a little bit, a few words of advice. Oh. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm addicted to your podcast.
Oh,
the Unmissable podcast.
And it's over.
He used the word addicted.
Oh, my God.
And it all started when he listened out for our review of Man in Orange Shirt. And we were incredibly nice.
Well, it was
the Orange Shirt.
But now he's carried on listening, more importantly, since then. So this is a huge shout-out for DS.
Can I just say, we are very excited about this. Now, Diedrich, if you just want to slip a little review on iTunes, if you want to give it 5 stars, we'd be more than happy.
Well, I did decide to mention that to him.
Did you?
Rate and review.
You should have stood with him while he did it.
I should have done. He was.
That's what I'm doing.
He was effectively managing every single session at the Edinburgh TV Festival over 3 days.
It's multitasking.
But, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. So now I think my message is to any TV bigwigs out there listening, if you do tell us, then we will give you an extended shout-out on the
podcast. Oh, my God. It's going to be one long shout-out. Yeah. Now I'm going to mention Santa as much as possible in this podcast.
Mention Santa, yeah. Anyway, more importantly, guys, what have we been watching? Steph, what have you... Oh, no, Kay, what have you been watching?
All right, listen, I know you're going to judge me. I'm just going to say it anyway. I've been catching up on Made in Chelsea, Ibiza.
Someone's got to.
Yes, because, as you know, it's my guilty pleasure along with Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Never feel guilty.
All pleasure's good.
Yeah.
And I caught up with it because, as you know, I went for a set visit there.
You did.
So I thought it was only right that I didn't watch the show. And, yeah, it's as expected, makes you feel very bad about your lives. But, you know, it's nice to live vicariously.
Are you in it?
No.
Because you were there when they were filming it. You might be in the background.
I'm very much a backstage person, boy. Do you know that? Okay. I don't like... camera shy.
So as Made in Chelsea in Ibiza compares to Made in Chelsea in Chelsea, what is it just different? So they're just running around in skimpy bikini costumes?
Oh, yes. It's basically like Love Island.
It's like Love Island meets. By the way, there was lots of chat about Love Island at the TV Festival because everyone's incredulous as to how big it was.
Yeah, also I've got a bit of news about Love Island that I saw on the World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah.
They're launching... The people behind Love Island are launching kind of a breakaway show from that, which is called Survival of the Fittest, apparently.
Ooh.
Moving it from Mallorca to South Africa. And it's going to be a combination of like introducing grueling physical challenges, battle of the sexes, obviously dating as well.
What?
It's going to be like a hybrid.
And they're all very gorgeous. So
of course. I don't think they'd let ugly people on that show.
Oh,
Survival
God.
Of the ugliest.
So, well, that's sort of cannonball, isn't it?
Yeah. Steady. Oh,
well, sorry. Honestly, don't diss Freddie because I'm going to come for you.
That's a spoiler alert. That's all. Stephanie Seen, have you watched anything in your hectic week in Charge of Food Magazine?
I know this is going to sound so stupid, but this is the truth, right? I have just hit upon long lost family. Okay.
Oh,
Davina.
That's sweet,
okay.
Yeah.
Emotional.
7 series in.
Right. Yeah. And I did say on Twitter, I've just started watching this. 7 series in. I've never watched it before. It's bloody brilliant. I honestly.
Yeah.
How much did you cry?
I watched 3 in a row. I was
amazing.
That's emotional pornography.
I know. Honestly, it was. And you know what? I was watching it in bed.
Oh my
God. Crying.
Today, the bed. Last week, the bath.
I was honestly, I was crying. I was like, this is so amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I really wish I had a long lost relative so that Davina could come round and give me a cuddle.
We're going to find them. If you know Sealand.
What about your husband, Leanne B. George? Has he got any long lost relatives?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Everyone's very known to him.
Mm. Yeah, he's got
known relatives. Close known relatives.
But the other thing I've been watching, which is, I'm only watching it because he's watching it, Power. Do you watch that?
No. What channel?
He the husband. So
it's on Netflix.
Fiddy Cent. Yeah. You know Fiddy?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like the producer behind this huge show. You know this show, Boyd, right? So Power. And it's all about kind of, he's like this guy who's this big drugs goon. And basically it's about, he goes to prison and he's got like... Then he gets out of prison and then he's going out with this girl who was like, a long lost love, and she's in the police service. And then it's all about who's in power.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. It's huge in America.
What channel is it?
It's on the Netflix here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Weekly, so because they've acquired it from the American.
Is this the time
channel
that I reveal I don't have Netflix? Anyway,
do you know who it's got in it that you'd be interested in?
Joshua Jackson?
No.
Okay.
Lala Anthony's in it.
Brr?
Yeah.
Carmelo
Anthony's wife.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
From the Knicks.
Hello, basketball. I'm very big on the basketball scene.
Oh. Anyway, I've been watching that. But Long Lost Family, amazing.
I'm going to mention a couple of things. One, first of all, I do have to mention that as this is going to go out the morning after Game of Thrones season finale, the 80-minute, effectively, longest ever episode movie.
Please say you're not going to have an argument with Steph.
I'm just going to say, I don't think Steph's seen it yet. I haven't seen it. I'm just going to say it's the greatest. It's one of the greatest.
What do you mean, you've seen it?
What
do you mean you've seen it?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
I've seen it.
Oh, my God, did you see it in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
How have you seen it?
What do you mean? What happened?
I've seen lots of it. That's all
How
I can
have
say.
You seen lots of it?
Steph, I can't go into it right now.
Oh my God, you got a secret sauce.
Yeah, I've got to go into it right now. And let me. And
okay. Is it? What is it?
Yeah,
is it good?
It's one of the greatest episodes of TV ever. Yeah, I think.
Oh wow, one of the greatest episodes of TV ever.
Well, I think Steph will be the judge of that.
Yeah, as you know, I will be the judge. Oh my God. Yeah. So how many minutes in?
80 minutes. It's an hour and 20 minutes.
It's going out at the same time.
Yeah. Wow, on that bombshell, I also want to mention. I'm going to mention a film.
Okay.
So there's a film called God's Own Country,
right,
opening in cinemas. Yes.
Which has the guy who's in the Durrells in it, who I really like. Was it something O'Connor?
Josh O'Connor. And it's him and Alec. Now, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this properly.
Try.
So let me go.
Do your best accent.
Alec Sicarianu. Sicarianu. Steph's looking at the spelling. I probably should have practiced
Sicarianu.
Thank
you. She's got it. Nailed it.
And it's basically a gay romance.
Mm.
But it's and people are calling it like something like kind of like, you know, Brokeback Mountain in the wilds of Britain.
Oh,
so it's in a rural kind of farming community. It's this young guy who's living on a farm with his very desperately ill father, played by Ian Hart, and his grandmother, played by Gemma Jones. And it's all very bleak. It's very windy, bleak, kind of, you know, like the moors and all that. In a beautiful way. Like,
okay.
Beautifully bleak. Don't turn your nose up at it.
Well, you look sad.
Well, I'm kind of preparing the listener for the fact that there's got quite a lot of gruellingness to deal with.
Okay. Yeah,
but
it's worth
it.
Back Mountain was sort of
I honestly don't think Steph should see it if she's already dehydrated from Lawless Family.
That's true. You're right. But then this guy comes in to work as a kind of migrant worker.
He really is Brokeback,
yeah. So this guy comes to a migrant worker working on their sheep farm to help him out. And at first they're like, you know, don't really like each other.
Mm. Sorry,
but then,
is it on a sheep farm?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then they fall in love. And it's a kind of brilliantly... I'm going to say this now, it's better than Brokeback Mountain.
Really?
Yeah.
Boyd, that is a bold claim, Boyd.
Yeah, because it's just so... searingly, I've used that word, kind of brutal in some ways, and honest and straightforward in dealing with everything. It's very un-Hollywood. It's British.
Is it just because it's British? Because sometimes, sometimes people go, oh, it's much better because it's got the Brit.
No. So it's written and directed by this guy Francis Lee, and he's just done a brilliant job in making every single moment of it seem totally real. Whereas I think I love Brokeback Mountain. Don't get me wrong, but there were odd moments of it that were a bit Hollywoody to me. Do you know what I mean? I'm fair enough in a good way.
What bit of Brokeback Mountain was too Hollywood?
Oh, I haven't watched it in 10 years. Basically,
me and Steph should go and see it because it's got 5 stars in the magazine.
We're
going
to five
it?
Stars quite rightly in Heat magazine. It's going to be one of the big British indie films of the year.
It's the new Brokeback,
British Brokeback, God's Own Country in cinemas Friday.
Actually,
go see it.
I think I saw Charles's review where he describes it as Brokeback Yorkshire.
Yes,
that's what it is. Okay,
yes, there you go.
Amazing.
There we go. But more importantly, or not necessarily as importantly, the new series of TV drama phenomenon, Dr. Foster. Okay, shaking her head. What, just like memories of watching it? Traumatised?
Right, a few weeks ago, Steph said she couldn't watch Trust Me because it was so tense. And I think if you couldn't handle that, like, Trust Me.
Yeah. Oh, is that finished yet, by the way?
No, I watched episode 3 the other night, by the way.
It's really good.
Yeah, still good.
But still tense.
This is tenser.
Tense. Yeah.
Okay.
So did we all watch series one of Dr. Foster?
No, yes. Oh my God,
you didn't.
Yes. Yeah. Steph, you need to get on
okay,
it.
Okay, so listen, can I just, full disclosure, I understand that I might be the only person in the world that didn't watch series one of Dr. Foster.
You are.
But pretended I did when everyone was talking about the dinner table scene.
Nice.
And I was like, I can't be left out of every conversation on this day.
So
I'm like, oh yeah, it was amazing.
This is a good revelation. You're a TV pretender. There are a few, I've met,
I did,
yeah,
I did
so you're one of these people
that.
Like, so
for
if everyone
that,
goes, if, say everyone goes, oh yeah, all 8 episodes of Netflix, yeah, you pretend you've watched them just to go along with the
social
pressure.
Oh my God, do you know what? I should do that more.
Let me ask you a question. Do you honestly think that everyone that says they've watched The Wire has watched The Wire? Or anyone who says they've watched McCallum?
No, it's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Pretending you've seen something when you haven't seen it is an absolute phenomenon, especially when it comes
like
to the binge.
Let's always keep it honest and real.
Oh, I love The Sopranos. Yeah. If you watched all of The Sopranos,
it's FOMO, isn't it? It's fear of missing out. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but you did miss out.
I did miss out. Yeah, there was a day where everybody was talking about that dinner table scene, okay, where she slaps him, and so I did go, oh my God, wasn't it amazing?
Oh,
and you know what,
I can't believe
I had no idea
I love the fact that you're revealing this fact.
I had
it's
no
great.
idea, but then I watched a little clip and I now know why she was
but
so
interestingly
annoyed.
So here's my first thing I'm going to say is, so Dr. Foster obviously was all about, when it started out, written by Mike Bartley, who's a brilliant playwright and brilliant TV writer now as well. This was Suran Jones, a doctor, and husband Simon Bertie Carvel. So husband and wife, seemingly very happily married. And then the whole thing about it when it started was, it's just a very simple concept of she suspects he's having an affair. And she finds a lot of hair, is it on his shirt or something on his shirt? And then it all gets in, across the five episodes. It was like, is he, isn't he? Yeah. And it was just a brilliantly done kind of deep dive, wasn't it, into the emotional trauma of paranoia of thinking about whether of infidelity, then discovering the infidelity, then that scene you talk about was when she bursts out
and
like
says
an alien.
So you know that girl, was she the daughter of some of their adult friends?
Yeah.
Okay. So was he always a bit of a nasty bastard, her husband?
He's a bit of a shit.
Well,
isn't he?
Start with, he wasn't. That was the thing, was he? But I guess part of towards the end.
And
I mean,
how did the affair start?
He certainly was. Yeah.
How did the affair with this girl start?
I mean, do you want us to describe it?
Yes, please.
I mean, bottom line is she's a young, beautiful woman in his vicinity, I think.
Look, and also, he was, you know, like, he's got kids.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably bored of the drudgery of domestic life, just like a pathetic man.
Yeah. But part of the brilliance of it was that it did, in a very slow burn kind of way, reveal that he was capable of being a nasty bastard,
right.
But to start with, he did incredibly charming. He was an incredibly charming man, as I think often
was
is the
he?
Case.
Oh,
yeah,
I cannot imagine that from watching this.
Oh, yeah. No, the whole brilliance of it was at the beginning.
It could be anyone.
Yeah,
it could be anyone.
But also at the beginning, they weren't unhappy. They were like, they had issues, but they were very much in love, having sex, all those stuff.
Yeah, but this is the point, isn't it? It could be anyone because she thought she had a fulfilling relationship with him.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're now at series two. And the interesting thing is the thing that everyone said, like critics and a lot of viewers said on social media, after series one, is leave it there. You know, that's what people say about these things. When it feels like a self-contained story, which it very much didn't, it felt like it had an ending. You know, there was this whole violent climax and the whole, she went to a square and dealt with it. It felt it had been resolved. And then it was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to force series two on us? You know, just because it was a huge hit. But for me, it was like, I always trust a really good writer to come up with a way of doing a series two. And for me, so what he's done is, 2 years on, it is 2 years since the show was on, and it's 2 years on for everyone in the show. And him, the husband, the nasty husband, and the woman, the young woman, are now married with a kid.
Ugh.
And they've come back to the area. And the brilliance of it is, isn't it? So I guess the thing is, the theme of it is Sir Anne Jones, is Dr. Foster still kind of like very much put upon, still feeling victimized, but still trying, but brilliantly maintaining her life as a perfectly strong woman, and maintaining life with her son who's living with her, who's kind of trying to be sensitive to her as well. But it's all about, without giving anything away. And so I was thinking about how to describe this.
Yeah, because we've listened. Yeah. Right, this is one of those shows that the PR...
Yeah, have you got that list?
Yeah, we've got a list of things we cannot say.
So all I was going to say was, all we can really say is, it's 2 years on, he's back, he's come back to the local area, he's been away with the wife and then...
Are we allowed to say anything about where he lives?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So he's come back and he's now moved back into the vicinity... Into a house that Kevin MacLeod
would be very happy with.
A grand design.
What I would say about that house,
go on.
Just very quickly, sweet. I know it's going to seem like I'm obsessed with doors, right? Because after that dog program.
Mm.
Now, in a house like that, newly bought, who leaves the door open? Like, I'm talking, it's not even like unlatched, it's open.
Yeah, so we can say that there's a scene very early on where Sir Anne Jones, where Dr. Foster goes
She has a snoop around.
So he tells her he's moved back and gives her the address and she snoops her out with the door open.
But I thought the reason I did lie and I haven't watched the first series. But I thought from watching this and I just thought, oh, he's left the door open and
so she goes in. No.
Because he's given her... He's
oh, really?
He texted her and he thought... I thought he knows her so well. He knows she won't be able to resist going there. And so he's...
I didn't read it like that. I didn't want
this. Well, you may be right. But anyway, the whole idea of it is, isn't it, that what is he up to? Is he up to something?
Yeah, he's a nasty
What
bastard.
Is she up to? How is she going to deal with the fallout?
He is
a nasty bastard. How is she going to deal with these people she hates... Hates him. She hates the new wife.
Oh, I know, but that new wife.
And how is it all going to affect their son? Their teenage son, who's growing up now, and he's got new friends. So it's kind of like what happens now is the thing, isn't it? And I thought, now we get on to what we thought of it, but I just thought immediately. It was just every single moment of it was riveting, wasn't it? It was like
oh my god, but also so super tense. Yeah. Like it starts off with a guillotine. I mean, you don't get more tense Brilliant than that, scene, right? Yeah. A chopping device.
Yeah. Mm.
And these red letters going out, you're like, what is going on?
Yeah,
and
I love the music as well.
The music was fantastic.
Yeah. And so he's sending out invitations. Yeah,
to all.
Was, yeah.
But the thing is, he's sending out all the invites to all her friends and family, including their son. So she gets to know about them. Coming back, they're married. Mm. And it's just that horrendous situation that I think everyone can relate to, whether they've been cheated on or not, of... You've been cheated on, or infidelity happens. You try and get on and rebuild your life, and then that person not only like is happy, which is obviously quite devastating, comes back to the area that you live in and parades it in front of you.
Do you know what? Right, I watched it really late last night and kind
in the
of
bath?
In the dark. No, in the dark downstairs, and I felt to me like it did feel to me like a bit like an adulterous horror story.
Well,
it was really,
it's a really
like,
good point.
It's a good thriller.
Yeah,
very
it was
point.
Really thrilling.
I think you're right.
I was a bit scared.
Well, I think the genius of Dr. Foster is that it's essentially a domestic drama about infidelity, written and directed like a horror film.
Yeah, that's what it
is.
Felt like.
And it's like a brilliant, like you know. Like Rosemary's Baby or something.
The way
and there's nothing supernatural in it at all. Of course, it's absolutely grounded in reality, but it's so atmospheric.
Yeah, and the way
and
she
so
moves.
On edge.
Just,
yeah.
And it's really interesting you say he's a playwright, because actually, now you say it makes a lot of sense to me, because the drama and the tension in just very simple moments of dialogue.
Yeah.
I mean, the way she is acting her ass off, isn't she?
It just
and isn't
Saran.
He great? Simon, the character Simon,
he's
so great because he's so unremorseful and condescending to her.
Yeah.
So there's this brilliant scene where he basically says, like, essentially says to her, like, oh, you know, have you got anyone new? Like, oh, is that a new top? And it implies to her that she's basically got the same life, but just without him. How crushing is that? That is just so
hideous. Yeah, he knows how to
push
her
buttons.
Get to her.
Yeah, of course.
And then he absolutely does that
he's
as well.
So
but,
vile.
And yeah, but she knows how to get to him as well. I mean, she's equally capable in her own way, quite rightly, of kind of fighting back, which is it's a kind of battle of wills. It's a
very
battle
chilling.
Of psychological wills between these two brilliant actors. And Bertie, it's brilliant for him because Bertie Carvel, I think, was mainly known as a theatre actor. He did loads
Of,
I've seen him on stage loads of times, but didn't get that many good TV roles until this, and this is totally made
him
into a star.
Yeah, he's like a Shakespearean villain.
Yeah.
He's horrendous.
He says to her at one point, he says, the only way, because he's going back to an area that he was, like, he grew up in,
right.
And she didn't. So
oh,
he,
she didn't. Oh,
no,
right.
So his whole point is...
Because I was like, why has he got ownership over this place?
So he's saying,
that.
All my friends and family are here, so basically he belongs here. So he said, the only way I'm leaving here is in a coffin. And that, I think, sets the tone for this whole...
villain.
Yeah.
Oh, but why would you leave Saran Jones? I mean, and I think that's the thing.
Well,
it's like...
but they made that very realistic, don't they? I'm trying not to spoil anything, but there's a scene where they have a confrontation. It's like maybe... And you think part of him is thinking, why did I leave Saran Jones?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Can we just give like, you know, a lot of people diss the soaps, right? But how amazing, like, Corrie, as a soap petri dish, has it been for, like, Catherine Kelly, Saran Jones, Sarah Lancashire.
I want to ask you a question. Saran Jones... Mm. Okay, now again, this may be a stupid question. What is her native accent? What is her normal accent?
What is her native
accent?
Northern.
It is, because that voice that she's got, it was really just, oh my God, it was really going through me in a chilling way.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's beautiful.
She's got a softer northern tone in real life.
I just
life,
found
I
her, like, she's incredibly attractive.
Well, good thing about Coronation Street, funny enough, I've flown back from Edinburgh today, and the last thing I saw there, the best thing I saw, was Russell T. Davis, the genius who wrote Queer as Folk and managed Doctor Who, and he made the point that he worked on Coronation Street at the same time as Paul Abbott, who created Shameless and that Priest series that we watched this year, and Sally Wainwright of... Happy Valley fame. They all work on Coronation Street at the same time.
And also then Sarah Lancashire and Catherine Kelly were in Happy Valley.
Think about that. Three
it's
of the greatest
era.
Writers. So Coronation Street, so soaps do produce
But particularly,
these brilliant
I can't think of any other soap that's produced as many brilliant actresses.
But anyway, for
it's all
me...
all that fresh air up north.
Exactly, it's very useful,
Up in the Dales.
Yeah.
Everywhere else polluted.
But not up if you're listening to this in the north, obviously. We don't want to patronise them.
No.
Obviously, we've got
let's not patronise
the blogs.
We love you all individually.
I love you
very much.
All I was going to say was, I just think this is an example of, first of all, it's like that thing I mentioned about don't do another series when it's F off, you know, like just if the writer's as good as this, if the talent involved is as brilliant as this, then yes, do another series, and then we'll work out whether it's good or not. And this is so brilliant, and I just think it just shows what happens if you get a brilliant writer at the top of his game. Perfect cast, and it's brilliantly directed as well. I was trying to find him. Directed it. Jeremy Lovering. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's so five stars from me. Oh.
Shall I watch the first?
Watch it.
Did you get less out of it, do you think, because you haven't watched the first series?
No, I loved it. I really loved it.
Even more out of it.
But that's what I mean.
The history of the characters.
Because at the moment, my feelings about her husband are, oh, God, you're a nasty bastard, I've said several times. And why on earth would anyone leave Saran Jones? But maybe I'll find out why.
How can Steph watch it, Boyd? Give these details.
I actually genuinely think it's all on iPlayer now. They put it all on iPlayer, I believe. In time for the return. And not only, as I say, that I'm checking on my electronic device whether I've made that up or not.
What kind of doctor is she? Is she a GP? I mean, this is not really relevant. Yeah, or maybe it is in the first series, I don't know.
No, she's
And what does her husband do? What was his job?
What is he into? Marketing? I can't remember. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Just smarmy bastard.
Yes, my boss gets most of his work via the father of the woman he ended up shagging.
Can we say nasty bastard anymore?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, one more time. He's a nasty bastard.
Kate, what's your verdict? How many stars are you giving?
Oh, absolutely excellent. Doesn't disappoint. Five stars.
Steph?
Yeah, as in adulterous horrors go, I'm going to give it four stars, but that's because I feel like probably I'd give it five stars if I hadn't lied about watching the first series and actually just watched a clip.
I'd like to commend you, though, for admitting you're lying.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
I think that should always be applauded. I'm scared you might ask me some questions about it, and I'd be like, I'd have to lie again on air.
No, we don't condone lying on the podcast. No, it's a full commend situation. I'm pretty damn sure that Dr. Foster Series 1 is on iPlayer. In time.
Well, Pogs, if you're like me and you lied about watching it the first time, it was a bank holiday weekend. The bank holiday weekend's over. You should have watched it.
It's over. But it starts, series two starts on BBC One a week today, Tuesday, the 5th of September, 9 of the PM. Now we move on to another epic new drama series. This is Tin Star. It's on Sky Atlantic / Now TV from next Thursday. And they're doing their thing they do nowadays is it's a binge.
It's a binge.
No.
It's a binge.
I want to watch it.
Shut up, old geeky. No, it's a binge. It's a binge.
I want to just enjoy it on a weekly basis, please.
But what is what I'm going to say?
Oh.
Don't interrupt you two.
Sorry.
Shut up, old geeky. That's harsh. Because, in fact, if you're okay and you want to watch it on a serial basis week by week, you can. Yeah. It's on every Thursday, 9 o'clock.
In your face.
If you're,
I'm going to watch it and tell her everything that happens.
If you're bingey geek, Steph, then you can watch all 10 hours from next Thursday, stay up till 7 in the morning if you want.
Which channel is this on?
Sky Atlantic / Now TV.
Well done, Sky Atlantic.
Yes. It is created by and written by Rowan Najafi. He wrote 28 Days Later, the classic.
Oh, scary.
Yeah, the classic zombie film. He's a very talented youngish man. And he's the son of Roland Joffe, who's a very famous film director. Okay, he's laughing at my who he.
I don't know if he'll be like to describe it as sort of youngish.
Well, he's not that young, so I think he'll be fine with it.
What do you think he's young?
But what I should also mention is I mentioned Diedrich Santa, and this is a Kudos production.
This is one of Santa's. Can I just say this is unfair now because I'm just going to spoil it. I effing love this.
But you didn't
but it's
know
gonna
that.
Look like. Yeah, okay,
you,
fine.
You didn't. I'm telling you now.
I'm
didn't
always
even know
impartial.
That.
You can't buy me.
You're impartial. Right. But who wants to describe the situation, the sitch?
I'll do it. I did Dr. Foster.
People don't want to hear me wittering on.
That's
endlessly.
All they tune in for.
They need to hear the dulcet tones of Stephanie Sina as she explains what the hell Tin Star's about.
Right. Lower the volume because the high voice is coming on. Okay. Right. So this is all about a family just in a very domestic setup of British husband from London with an Irish wife, and they've got a son and a daughter, and they've moved to the Canadian Rockies where he is going to become the sheriff of this small town in the Rockies.
And he's played by Tim Roth.
Played by the amazing Tim Roth. When it first came on, I was like, oh no, this is all going to be all American accent. Canadian accent.
Oh my God.
I know.
Great, we're going to get the hate mail.
Yeah.
Joshua Jackson's right.
I understand that Canada and America are different places, but you all sound the same.
That's very much Stephanie Sealand at Stephanie Sealand.
No, don't. You don't sound the same. Right, okay. Anyway, beautiful, beautiful scenery. So he has become, he was a policeman back in London, and he's moved. We're not quite sure what's happened. There's a backstory that's happened that means that they've moved. The daughter's not very happy about being moved. Anyway,
Fair enough. So, from London to literally Nowheresville, Canada.
No, you think of the fresh air. It's like up north.
It is beautiful.
I'm just seeing it from her point of view.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I'm going to die here and it's so boring. Yeah. Anyway, so we're introduced to this family and then he goes into work and we realise that actually not much happens in this small
town.
And
he's the sheriff.
And he's the sheriff, so what's he going to do? So he kind of goes fishing, doesn't he? They go like, oh, do what the other guy did. He just went fishing. So he starts thinking, oh, nothing's really going on. And then there's like a church fete and his wife has made some fudge and she meets, which is made badly.
Yeah.
And I like the detail of
no,
this.
No, you've asked me to do it and I will go into
we're in it for the long haul.
You mentioned the fudge.
I will go into every single... Yeah, she
fudge
made
is
the
not
fudge.
A spoiler.
It isn't. Christina Hendricks comes along.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, one of the greatest actors and one of the greatest shows ever.
What a beauty. And she's introduced. She buys a load of fudge and she seems like she's going to be really friendly. And then we find out she works for an oil company.
She's a VP.
That are trying to drill in an area. And she is kind of in cahoots with a
big
mysterious...
oil.
Bald-headed figure who just comes along in a car.
Don't see what his bald head's got to do with it.
No, but I'm just describing
him. Okay, right. And also, can I just say about that bald-headed figure, aka the head of security for that oil company, doesn't he remind you of Slugworth from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Excellent
don't you
point,
think?
Well made.
He's
so have
terrifying.
That visual in your head, whilst I continue with this very
terrifying.
Detailed description of what happens in every second of
Slugworth.
This episode. So then we cut to a meeting where all the townspeople are potentially going to get money...
you're
this oil thing.
What I would say is by the end of this, the pogs, the people on the ground are not going to have to watch it.
Wait, and then, so now it's all about this oil thing happens, people are upset, and then Tim Roth gets in a bit of a troublesome situation.
Dark things are happening.
Dark things
are
happening. I don't want to give the end away.
Well, you haven't.
I mean,
you've
given away the beginning and the middle, so.
No, that was a fantastic description, including the fudge. Of the first episode of Tin Star.
The fudge is a big bit because she's like, I forgot to mention, he goes to an AA meeting.
I think our producer John's going to choke.
He's an ex-alcoholic,
Oh, was that not the bit you were going to mention?
What I was going to mention was the interesting structure of the first episode because it starts off with this incredibly powerful sequence where they're driving away and they stop at gas station.
Oh,
the little kid wants to go to the loo and it's very tense and they're in a hurry but you don't know why, and then a masked gunman comes out and shoots someone or something and you don't really know what's happened.
Maybe that's a bit
it just stops you in your tracks. It's like start of a show.
Because I think we have to say there's this brilliant opening scene, isn't
it? I didn't want to say that because I thought it was the end, but that's stupid because it starts at the beginning.
Yeah. Did you watch it a few days ago?
What a fail.
Yeah. That's all right.
No, I watched it. I watched it at 2 a.m.
Oh, okay. Right at the end, they show you that scene again.
I was in the kitchen making brownies.
Oh, my God. Right at the end, they show you that scene again and you see the whole thing played out. And I thought it was so clever how that
worked. Because it does a 1 week earlier thing, doesn't it?
Now,
what is that called? Because there's a name for it, isn't it? When they do like the reverse. I'm going to find out.
It's a flashback. It's
no, but there is like
point
a there is an actual
oh, a flip reverse.
It's a flick reverse. Yeah, it's a flick reverse. So the flick reverse is great. So I'm in that very lucky position. I was given all 10 episodes of this to watch.
Oh!
No, I haven't watched all 10. I've watched
three. As in like, hello, let's have a screening of them.
I can pass it to you. Yeah, it's on a thing.
Kay. You want to watch it week by week.
Oh, yeah, you want to watch it week by week.
Hey, calm yourself down.
What do you call it?
Old geeky.
Old geeky queen.
I feel like there's a bit of ganging up going on.
But you do want to watch it week by week, slow your roll.
All I need to say is it's really effing good, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Really good.
I am honestly, I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I haven't been so excited by a new drama in months.
Wow.
Honestly.
But when was the last time Tim Roth was in something? Like, I was trying to think.
A TV thing. Well, he did this show in America called
House of Lies. No.
Lie to Me. There we go. He did that from 2009 to 2011 for a few years. He's just done a few films since then. Carry on.
I was just going to say, he's really good.
His character is so funny.
He's very dry.
He's got that British sense of humour. He's like very. Did you watch this?
I watched it while making muffins
of
in the kitchen.
She watched the middle
half,
like nobody's business.
You focused more on the muffins than the. You focused on the fudge.
The fudge. Yeah. Well, that was an important point. Anyway, carry on
the fudge.
Yeah, so this is. Yeah. You've been more excited by this than
anything else.
I mean, full
stop. You're finished.
Okay, sorry. I just thought it was exceptional. Everything about it was so thrilling, so brilliantly acted.
Yeah. It's another example, isn't it? Just like I was saying this to people when I was pontificating at the Edinburgh TV Festival, as I do in my pompous way. I was like, TV drama, it's incredible now, isn't it? Because like you just can't do a mediocre drama. No one's going to be bothered. Anything like below a certain level of quality is just. everything is now raised. The quality has been raised, yeah. I think.
Beautiful, you know, landscapes. Sorry to like.
So it looks incredible. Yeah. By the way, it's going to be on UHD on Sky as well. If you've got a UHD TV like
me,
78 inches.
So that's just rubbing it
so
in
it looks incredible.
I've got one, Boyd, so yeah, we'll watch it.
I agree with Kelly. I think it's absolutely. I think it's the best. We've had Riviera recently.
Which, that wasn't. Oh my God.
Not
hello.
Good.
Do not even say it in the same sentence.
Well, I'd have, but I apologise for saying it in the same sentence.
It's a flip reverse.
It's a flip reverse. They've had a lot of, you know, good, pretty decent. They've had the tunnel, two series of
that. Oh my God, sorry.
Oh my. Yeah, wow. I just nearly lost my mind there because I forgot to talk.
John, the engineer, is going to have to turn that down.
I forgot to talk to you about the fact that we haven't even mentioned that the tunnel is coming back. Yes. Sky Atlantic tweeted yesterday. I lost my mind.
Yeah. So, I was in that session.
Calm down,
Jesus
Christ. And not her volume. She didn't lose her volume.
Whoa, yeah. The Tunnel Series 2 won an award at Edinburgh TV Awards. Anyway.
I'm happy for it, but let's focus on
Tinsel. As we're focusing on it, I think this is the best Sky Atlantic homegrown thing so far.
Absolutely. Like Riviera, Schmiriera. Like this is in a league of its own. I have been so excited about a new drama. You know that. I barely
you
smile.
You said that already,
but also,
and you're saying
you
it
You must really like it because for you to say that you're going to binge it, is unheard of.
She said she wasn't going to binge. She changed her mind.
If I can watch it in a screening in Boyd's house and be provided with snacks, I'm coming there.
I'm not promising that.
Oh, no. Oh. I tell you what it's going to be great for, the Canadian Tourist Board.
It looks
fantastic. It's going to
be fantastic.
Ravishing. For that. It really does, doesn't it? Because I watched it all and I really want to go to Canada.
Road trip to the Rockies, pod on the road.
Honestly,
let's
do it. Although he makes it seem a bit dangerous. So I don't want to go to his part.
Can I say one more thing? Because I think people might question, because I also went to the launch of it. Where that was, this was a few weeks ago, they screened it at BAFTA and there was a Q&A with Joffy afterwards and Roth. Roth was on ebullient form, I have to say. He was loving life, loving life. Anyway.
Of course he does, he's in a brilliant drama.
How can this East End London dude, you know, policeman, end up as the sheriff
how
of a small town? And Joffy said it absolutely happens. It's based on truth. And that because
what this whole show is based on?
No. But that particular idea. So he read.
That people moved to Canada.
Just grasp my wrist.
I'm like, it's not like it's a groundbreaking idea for someone to travel and do a job.
No,
somewhere
but I know
else,
what you mean because it's different.
It's a bit weird. I thought like really like this.
I did a little bit because I was a bit like, also
you're very
different laws. Different. I just thought like, why would he have gone straight to the top?
Well,
how would this have happened?
Right. My question was, why would they resort to having this London dude? They can't find one person, Canadian, to be a sheriff. But he said. The thing is, they can't find enough people, decent people, qualified people to be sheriffs in these tiny little small towns. So that's that.
I might become a sheriff.
I'd love to be a Mountie.
You would love to be a sheriff, Kath.
I would. Can you imagine me wielding my badge? Yeah.
That was that amazing. What was that show about Canadian Mounties?
Hello, Due South.
Yeah, that's it.
It was called Due South. It wasn't called Hello, Due South. That would have been. That's a sequel coming soon. Anyway, how many stars? Okay, I think I know how many stars you're going to give it.
No, you don't.
This is like on The X Factor where Simon goes, you are, I've got to be honest with you, you are the greatest act we've ever seen. And then they do this thing where they go, well, how many stars? Are we going to put them through? Of course you can put them through. How many stars?
I am giving it 6 stars.
Oh,
yeah, you didn't guess that. I'm giving you 6 stars.
That's not, maximum is 5.
Maximum's 5, yeah.
Right. I'm giving it 6 stars. I don't care what you say. You can't stop me. I've said it. Look, hi.
6 tin stars.
6 tin stars. Okay.
Are you going to play within the rules?
I am going to play within the rules.
Well, she gave it 0 stars last week. Do you remember?
Justified. That terrible show. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Ooh. Maybe next time, stop baking at the same time and wash it.
I know.
Don't
I'm going to give it 4 stars because I really, really liked it. I need to binge it. I really liked it though. Liked it, Kay.
Okay, fine.
Without doubt, it's getting 5 stars for me. Yeah, I think it's.
Liked it a little bit less than me then.
Excellent. I mean, you know.
I'm really happy to see Christina Hendricks back on screen as well.
Very good point.
Because she's delightful.
Yeah. As I often say on this podcast, in sharp contrast.
Here we go.
In the fluff slot, Cannonball is a new. I'm going to read you a description from lovely people at ITV. Legendary cricketer and broadcaster Andrew Freddie Flintoff is to host ITV's brand new adrenaline-fueled game show, Cannonball. What exactly, though? What type of adrenaline-fueled game show is Cannonball, Kay Ribeiro?
It's basically Total Wipeout is what it is. They've got loads of tasks where they have to do different things. For example, like going at speed on a Lilo, which actually Steph and I have played on holiday.
Do you know what? I was going to bring this up. Can I just say, right, there is a segment on this, okay, where they play something that Kay and I copyrighted, and it's called Lilo Launch. So, right, Kay and I, who holiday together sometimes, basically, you get on the edge of a swimming pool and you take your lilo and you launch on and you see how far you get by just launching yourself without moving the rest of your body. You launch. Now, they seem to have got hold of our minds and decided to make this even slightly better by going from a huge slide along a surfboard to the end of a gigantic pool.
And rather than lilo launch, they've called it rather boringly skimmer. So that's one of the rounds they could do. Yeah. Other ones is they come like they're in a, is it a zorb? Down a slope, they have to knock over the skittles. It's all different kind of challenges.
In a gigantic water park, isn't it? In Malta, is it, I believe?
Yeah, I was going to say, where the hell is it?
It's in Malta.
And I mean, my God, that's a lot of water, isn't it? It's like three water parks.
Yeah, it's a big, big gigantic kind of like, not set, but like, kind of
bespoke set.
But it's like Wipeout on steroids, isn't it?
Right, oh, that's good. Well done. I like that. It's like Wipeout on steroids in Malta with Freddie Flintoff, and we should say four.
I have a big issue with that.
Four presenters. I'm going to name them: Frankie Bridge,
who I didn't recognise at first.
Okay, Radzi Chinyanganya, Maya Jama, and comedian Ryan Hand. And Freddie Flintoff is the host, so he introduces the whole thing. But then he's got these four of them.
I know. Like, honestly, you turn
running
away,
around doing stuff.
Turn
and
away
laughing.
For 1 second. You go back and you're like, oh, are we still on this? Who's this person? Have they just fired that presenter? What happened? There's like 1,000 presenters, and that nothing flows between these presenters. It's very strange, that, I think.
I think that, do you know what I really like? This is something that definitely my nieces will be really into. It's like clean family fun. There's an element of danger, obviously, because at any moment you think they're going to break their neck.
I have to say, though, what is hilariously funny is they have this one called, I'm not sure what it's called. It might actually be it's not the cannibal.
Oh, the blob.
One. The blob. The blob is the best bit because somebody of equivalent, so there's someone sitting on this huge inflatable blob, right? And then people of equivalent weight to the person on the blob jump on the other side of the blob, and then it launches this person into the air.
Oh my God, it's terrifying.
And honestly, the first person you see in this first episode is this granny, and it's like, it is kind of horrendous, isn't it, to see? I mean, she gets up to a
I mean, the insurance
10
on that show must be...
Yeah, if you
insane.
Want to see a granny on the blob.
Oh, you want to see a granny on the blob?
Sorry. Oh my God, that's a sentence that never needs to be said again.
But it is.
This is a show for you. It is extraordinary.
And they have to wear helmets.
It's like this kind of small child's idea, isn't it, for me, of like a TV show. Even more than like, this kind of stuff goes back to It's a Knockout. Do you remember, I grew up watching
it. Yeah.
And it was like, silliness.
Yeah.
It's massive.
I mean,
and this, but you're right.
Silly.
People
but
jump on an inflatable to hurl this poor woman, this granny, in the air, hundreds of feet in the air.
I know.
And to land, to thump into the water.
But
it's quite
I think family's going to gather to watch this.
That's the idea. Yeah. This is a tea time. It's on 7 o'clock on ITV before X Factor. By the X Factor launches next Saturday. Obviously, we would review that, but we haven't seen it yet. So it's it's like the warm up for that, and it is, as you say, there's a whole load of now these like Ninja Warriors.
Yeah.
There've been ones on BBC One. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah. Like crazy physical activity type
exactly.
things.
Physical obstacle coursey things with members of the public.
Yeah.
And lots of cackling, by the way. Always cackling. So in this, all the presenters are laughing their heads off.
Yeah.
At every single
moment.
But
do you know what? Right? Why have they got five presenters? I think the women are like, I think Frankie's good.
Yeah.
I think Maya Jama, even though I've got an irrational dislike, no, it's not really dislike, it's like a jealousy of her.
She's stunning.
Yeah. I went on a date once and someone spent 75% of the time talking to me about how Maya Jama was their ideal woman.
Why would they do that?
You went on a date with a psychopath.
Yeah, I know. Jesus. Isn't that a weird technique?
That is bizarre.
Anyway, so yeah, but the two women are brilliant. The two guys are just like surplus to requirement.
Here's what I thought, right? I thought the reason they had so many is because it's so bloody far to get up to different
it's
things.
A big space.
Their transport between tasks isn't my concern though. I want them to like get the scooter.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't jet ski. Scoot when you've got to climb up all those stairs to get to the top of that slide.
But it all comes down to Flintoff, isn't it? And I think this is his first. But this is his first job, isn't it? As the main fronting presenter, I think. I mean, he's been in lots of shows where documentary shows and like, but he's standing there in front of the camera and he is the host ostensibly of the show these four doofs surrounding him.
I love Freddie Flintoff,
right?
But for me, he doesn't feel like the main presenter because like he narrates this whole show, but his FaceTime, his screen time, isn't a lot.
And he's the most attractive person on it.
And he's the funniest. Like the script, his script is funny and the music choices
are great. We all love
Flintoff.
Who doesn't love
Flintoff? Question, is this beneath Freddie Flintoff?
I think it's a fun show.
It's fun. But I don't think that the 4%, it's bewildering. And there's an opening scene where he's there. He does present it on his own. He introduces it. And then suddenly they cut to him surrounded by the other four presenters, all lying there on the beach and watching. You think it's almost just like a jolly where they've just thought,
oh my God, they've all got a great tan. It is sort of the Giacomo of TV shows, isn't it? Which he is the model of, isn't he? Is that
harsh?
What? It is. No, Giacomo's. all right.
Oh, I guess it's big. Yeah, it's big and oversized, outsized.
They need three presenters. He needs to be the central one, and they just need two on either side. They don't need five.
I think we've said all there is needs to be said about Cannonball.
Hold on a minute. What? We haven't talked about the main event at the end where they have to jump from a big rope into a bullseye. That's how you win.
That's
it.
That's the climax,
and, and also, let's just say, God knows where they get these people from. But they don't actually win anything. They don't win anything.
No, they make great play.
They win a cup, don't
they? Makes great play. The fact that you don't win a boat or a thing or a homily, you win this cup. So it's almost like they're making fun of the fact
that... Yeah, it's very knowing.
It's knowing. It's yeah, exactly. Kay's right.
Okay.
How many stars? How many stars are we giving Cannonball with Freddie Flintoff and four other people?
I thought it was a bit long. Did you not think
it was a bit
long?
Yeah, it was a bit long.
Repetitive.
It was very, and there was no order to it. They just kept on flipping between the tasks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good half hour. I think it would be good at half an hour. Yeah. I do think the people should win something at the end. And I think they should ditch two of the presenters and Freddie should be in some sort of swimsuit.
Oh, yeah, I'm up for that.
You should be a producer of this fucking show.
Listen.
Sorry to swear.
I should. I absolutely should. I could make it a lot better.
How many stars are you giving the version we saw, which has which is an hour long, has five presenters, and it's quite repetitive?
And Freddie's fully clothed.
Yeah. My version would get five stars. Ah. This version is going to get two.
Yeah, okay.
Three and a half.
I'm going to have to give it two as well. Yeah, I just, you know what? The bottom line is, I'm not bothered about watching it ever again, as much as I love Freddie. And I think it's a good film because it shows he can present, you know, he does a good
job.
You know, Len Goodman, for example.
Oh, Christ on
who I found excruciating. I'm totally happy watching Freddie present anything. But I don't think I watch Cannonball.
No, I have to say, I think there
are family show.
I think there are better choices out there for Freddie, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Always be honest.
He's got loads of things. Aloto's new series starts next week. League of Their Own.
I have been watching Aloto reruns, and I did...
It's always great,
isn't my God, it just makes me laugh so much. Amazing.
Finally, let's go to the return of Cold Feet, because Cold Feet, you know, had like a massive gap. It was an iconic show in the 90s on ITV. And then last year it came back and it did really well. It did well ratings-wise. Critics loved it. It's, of course, you know, it's kind of like... Are you laughing at me?
I just want to make a confession.
Go on.
All right, okay. So, you know how I just talked a little bit earlier about how I lied about Dr. Foster?
Yeah.
Cold Feet is also one of those... People used to say, did you watch Cold Feet? And I'd be like, oh God, yeah. And she always say, this is what I used to say, wasn't it awful when she died?
Oh my God.
Which is the way to cheat your way through pretending that you watched series one or whatever of Cold Feet. I don't know how many series there have been, but
fire.
I know. But I was like, oh yeah. And then I did watch a clip of when she died when the truck went into her.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
So just, I'm full disclosure.
So full disclosure, have you ever watched Cold Feet?
No.
Never watched Cold Feet? Oh, this is a virgin slot. This is the return of the virgin slot for you.
I never watched it.
Right. Did you watch this while baking or did you have your full attention?
This had my full undivided attention.
I'm just checking. I feel I need
attention.
To know before I ask what your opinion
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Are you a Cold Feet fan or are you new to it as well?
No, I watched it back in the day, but I've got terrible memory, so it's like, it's as if I'm a virgin again. I've been re-virginized over it.
You'd be often happens this day. Anyway, Cold Feet, the original iconic Cold Feet, very literally, the original Cold Feet, created by and written by the great Mike Bullen, was really, like, for me, the great thing about it was like the equivalent of an American drama series in that it was a very straightforward premise. It was just really kind of three couples in Manchester, three kind of middle class, I mean, now middle class, they're all some from working class backgrounds originally, but... And their kind of personal lives, and it was a kind of comedic drama, a dramedy, or whatever you want to call it.
I like dramedy.
But it had a gloss to it. Do you know what I mean? It had like a 30-something. Remember 30-something? Do you ever watch 30-something in the 80s? Yeah. One of my favourite shows ever, which was just kind of partly about the vibe. As much as anything, the pitch for Cold Feet is it's funny and engaging and warm and emotional.
It's warm.
It's about their emotional lives, and you're going to love the characters. They're all funny and clever and smart, and it's about kind of following what happens to them. And that was the genius of it, and it was all in the writing. And the performances and casting it brilliantly. James Nesbitt, Faye Ripley, John Thompson, Hermione Norris, Robert Bathurst, they're all back. And this is the second series of the revival.
I was ruddy bloody confused though, because at the beginning there's a big dance number and I was like, what the F is going on?
Well, that's the other thing. So that's the reason why, thank you for mentioning that, why it's similar to these American shows. Because these American shows, like 30-something, to mention it again, also have these kind of fantasy sequence moments where you see stuff going on in the minds of the characters. And Cold Feet has always done this, where you have these little moments of like, him imagining people and, you know, him seeing his late partner, you know, ghostly figures. And that this does open boldly, very boldly, episode one with a musical number, doesn't it, Kate?
All singing, all dancing.
All singing, all dancing. What did you think of that?
I didn't love that bit, actually. Okay.
It's a bit nuts, wasn't it?
It was bold.
Yeah, it was bold. I mean, I loved everything else. So
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
What did you think? Yeah, talk about what you thought of everything else.
I really liked it because I think it's like an example of how a reunion show should be done. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes shows come back, as we discussed earlier, and they're just like, oh, God, you should have left it there. I know it came back last year. I thought it was really good because you just really care about the characters and genuinely love the friendships. And particularly, I like Karen and... No, what's... Adam and...
Faye Ripley.
What's her name?
I don't know, because I'm a virgin.
Jenny.
Jenny.
I've given you notes, everyone. Just ignoring your notes,
so
by the way. I print these things out.
So relatable. Oh, so, for example, all the kind of angst they have in their 40s, 50s, however they are.
Jenny,
like, for example, Jenny feeling really insecure about her friendship with Karen and, like, all that is very relatable.
Yeah, because back in the 90s, obviously, it was, you know, it was about late 20-something, 30-something people kind of dealing with a certain period in their lives where they're getting jobs, they're settling down. Are they settling down? They're forging relationships. Now it's all about they're in families or they've split up with their partners and they're dealing with middle age. That's the kind of... But to me, it does it in such a light-touch way. It's almost like makes... living a normal life, having a normal job, you know, like... Faye Ripley's character's working in the hotel and having trouble with Doofus' manager. And they haven't got massively glamorous jobs. I mean, Hermione Norris's character is kind of like a publishing...
Yeah, she set up her own publishing.
She set up her own publishing thing.
Oh, she's got
so she's
great
got the
bod.
Most. Yeah, she's got the most glamorous job. But they're all... It's all very down to earth. And yet, it's done in such a way, visually, and the characters and the dialogue is slightly heightened and funny, that it makes living that life seem great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also... I really liked the bit in it, and obviously I haven't seen it before, but I really liked the bit in it where... I'm just going to refer to my notes. Played by James Nesbitt, Adam, 49. He goes to get a new job, and he goes to get a job with like a load of millennials, which, as you know, are my favourite people. Love you all. And but he goes to get a job, and he like imagines them all as children.
That's a great scene. Yeah,
and I found that really funny.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
That,
oh, has
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does those things brilliantly. That is one of the.
I'm really glad I lied about watching it before then.
We should also mention that Siobhan
Finneran
is also in it from Downton Abbey and The Lock.
Happy Valley.
That's where she's from.
Yeah, she's Miss O'Brien.
Oh, of course she is.
Yeah, and she is in this new series. Oh. And she's Siobhan Finneran is one of the great TV actors around at the moment. And she's got this part where she's in the Cheshire set, in the really ultra rich where all the footballers live. And so we get to see these lavish, massive houses. And so Robert Bathurst's character is desperately, he's in the moment selling dodgy deals to pensioners and being and
equity release.
Sad salesman. And then thankfully he's put in touch with her and she's clearly after him a bit, isn't she? Spoiler alert.
Oh yeah. Gets all twinkly eyes.
She gets all twinkly eyed. And he gets to hopefully sell stuff to these very ultra rich women living in the Cheshire set. But I think just generally it's just and there's of course the main focus of it is on Adam, James Nesbitt's character, and his new girlfriend, Tina, played by Leanne Best, who is his landlady. They're now fully on. Will she move in with him or won't she? How far are they going to go? You know, that's all.
That's very
kind of
sweet, actually.
Yeah,
she's great. Isn't
yeah,
that girl.
Everyone's
she
really
was,
good.
She
in
was
it, aren't
the. She was his landlady.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how he met her.
Oh, and I really like that little subplot about Karen and Jenny's friendship, where Karen is getting a bit.
Yes.
Jenny's getting a bit jealous about Karen. Being
very realistic, wasn't it? That. Yeah.
I really
like a little jealousy in friendships.
Said that earlier, guys, but that's all right.
Did you?
Oh no! Listen, you're doing a classic Boydo.
No, well, that was my fault.
Yeah, no, that's what
you're doing a boiler. You're doing a me.
Never mind.
I take that as a compliment.
You didn't fully listen to. You didn't fully listen to what Kay was saying earlier.
Never mind.
Generally, yeah, I thought the revival was really well done. Was as good as you could hope it could be, and I think this new episode. And so it should say it starts next Friday. This is a move though, because you think of Cold Feet being on Monday, maybe Tuesday, but ITV is now going to.
Why are they doing that?
I don't think it's a Friday night show.
Is it?
Well, we'll see. I think there's a thirst for drama on Friday.
Do you think?
I don't think this is drama, though.
Comedy drama, whatever. It's an hour-long fiction, scripted show.
I don't think people are going to get home on a Friday and watch this.
I hope so.
I would really love this as in a
Monday
Tuesday night.
Or Monday night.
It is
Monday,
unusual. I mean, it has to be said it's unusual. Apparently, the BBC is going to try drama on Friday as well more. So it's
really
a thing. It's a new thing. I think they've done audience research and that more people stay in than you think on Friday now. So it's kind of like
we're
a,
just so crazy.
You two, like gadabouts.
We're just out all
clubbing
the time.
Every Friday.
That's the thing.
We're staying just out to
calm
till all
down
hours.
And watch some dramas.
On the drink and then God knows what.
Well.
Just stay in and watch Cold Feet.
Yeah, what's wrong with us?
All right, we will.
Yeah, well, this was just very nice, wasn't it? It was just like...
I think it's better than that.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think it's shy.
I'm giving it 4 stars.
Oh, I'm giving it 4.5.
Okay, all right.
What are you giving it?
It was just fine.
She doesn't have the history. It's a bit like
I mean, it was just fine.
Like Dr. Foster.
And the thing is, it was just fine. 3.5. It was just
3.5.
So that's what everyone aspires to be. Just
okay,
fine.
Okay, but Tin Star, I gave 4, which I thought was amazing. I like my dramas a bit more edgy. I don't know whether I'm a dramedy person. I think I'm a bit of a purist. Like drama or comedy or thriller, or I think that's what it is. It's my problem, guys, not yours.
You're allowed to give it whatever the hell you want. No, I mean, I can see that, but I think the great thing about it is actually it's one of the very best examples of the comedy drama, because usually they are not funny enough. But I think Cold Feet is the one. It's like, this is what they should be like. So I'm giving it 4.5, yeah. What about you, Kay Ribeiro?
I've already said 4 stars.
Oh, God.
This
wow.
is the episode where no one listens to Kay.
That's fine.
It's all right.
Fine.
She's dealing with it very well. She's not at all in any way furious.
Yeah, I'm not furious. No. I'm having a rage blackout. I'm in the middle of a rage blackout.
She's gone rigid.
Yeah, the headband is like... tensing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's do the final segment of the Unmissables podcast, commonly known as the Question Time.
Question Time. To be released as a single.
Yes, and I'm just going to say it one more time. We only have to do that because we can't afford any music, so Kay and I have to have a little bit of a musical interlude.
There's no reason to explain it. It's just...
It is what it is.
So this week, we thought, because Freddie Flintoff is hosting Cannonball and is a TV sports legend, I'd ask this slightly clunky question of who your favourite TV sports person is. So, I mean, I don't know quite what I meant by this, but in my mind, I thought a regular person on TV who's also a sports person, like Freddie Flintoff, you know, equally could be Jamie Redknapp, it could be Gary Lineker, it could be anyone. Oh, sorry, go on. Who is it, Jamie Redknapp?
Mine's Jamie Redknapp.
Go on, explain why. Yeah.
Mine's Jamie Redknapp because I love him deeply. And I met him when Kay and I do, and Boyd, of course, when we do the National Television Awards every year. It's very nice to meet lots of people, but occasionally someone comes along and you're like, fuck yes, this person's so exciting. Sorry, should I not say that?
No, it's fine.
Right. But that was one of those moments.
Did he smell good? I imagine he smells good.
Oh, he always smells good.
Well, really? I got really Box close. Fresh. I got really close and said,
love a nice option.
Can I have a photo taken with you and be your wife? I just said, can I have a photo taken with you? And I had a photo taken with him. And I swear to God, whenever time I look at that picture, I think, we just look great together.
Aww.
I do. I just think, we look fantastic. This is what should have been. Yeah,
that's how stuff happens. You don't have to think it enough.
What I love so much about him is he's such a lad, and I think he's really funny, and I think he's got an excellent skin moisturising regime.
He
it's
is.
True.
He's Do you know what? I agree with all of that. He's brilliant. Yeah, I love him as well. And when I went to Aloto, a lady of their own behind the scenes, I did. He walks around in a rope, in a towel.
What?
Rope. Yeah. Yeah.
And hold on.
And I kind of like...
He walks around in it in a row.
I did. I mentioned the feature in the magazine briefly. I read it too. Maybe it's cut out. That detail's because it's too hot for the readers to handle.
Okay.
But so he walks into the dressing room where everyone is in his robe, and Jack Wild saw my sort of shock and awe. And he went, he's always like this. He's always walking around in his robe.
How do we get into that dressing room?
Yeah, how do we get into that robe?
Oh my God, Steph. Well, you're a married woman.
Of course,
Steph.
He is single now, so you know.
Oh, he's so amazing.
But she's
and
not.
He's so funny.
No, it's true.
Listen.
Maybe the Amber George on stage.
That's why rings come off, you know. Rings are removable. Ooh, that's all I will say.
God, I think we've hit a nerve. I'm glad I asked this question.
I love Jamie. I just think he's so funny, and I love it when he goes, you melt.
Yeah, you melt. He loves melt.
Oh, he's such a melt.
Yeah, he's a geese.
He loves a melt.
He's a total geese.
He makes me melt.
Okay, beat that.
Obviously, Usain Bolt.
I know.
There's only one. Well, actually, Muhammad Ali's the original, but as a showman and a sportsman, Usain Bolt, I don't think you're better than that. The fastest man in the world. We were lucky enough, Boyd and I, to meet him.
Yeah.
He is exceptional. He's so funny and lovely and obviously just so bloody talented. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bolt all the way for me.
I have got no idea, Boyd, how you're going to pick, because you are obviously a huge
Arsenal
gooner.
Player. It's got to be.
And I just don't know. I can't see where you're going to go here. Oh, Thierry's a good one.
Another one you'd probably see.
Do you know what? Why don't we let you answer and then we'll find out?
Well, because I was actually, even though I didn't really explain it very well when I asked you to pick them, I was thinking of people on TV a lot. And so that's partly why I picked this person who is an Arsenal. He is an Arsenal legend. Ian Wright. It's Ian Wright, right?
Of course.
Yeah, and of course, I know him quite well because I interviewed him. I actually interviewed
him. Is he your close
personal
friend?
He's my close personal friend in my mind. I insisted on interviewing Ian Wright. Wright years ago for Heat magazine.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
The Heat interview. Because remember, back in the day, when he retired from football, he kind of became a mainstream TV presenter.
Like, I don't think he did Gladiators.
Which he didn't enjoy. And interestingly, he really regrets it now. He really regrets going down that road of being like a kind of trying to be a mainstream TV presenter, like Freddie Flintoff is now.
Yeah.
Wright, wasn't comfortable doing it. Right. He's now mainly a brilliant football pundit. I love him. He's brilliant on Match of the Day. He's brilliant when he does BT Sport, whatever he does. But he's just a genuinely brilliant guy, and I've met him many times, and he's always remembers me, he always gives me a hug, and I love him, and he is one of the greatest Arsenal strikers of all time, of course. So yeah, Ian Wright.
Oh, good answer.
And what better place to end
this week's
Unmissables podcast?
I think before we do end,
what?
Bring this to a close, which yeah. I'm keen to do. What I would say is a little shout out to the Pogs. People on the ground are lovely listeners, and anyone else who wants to review us on iTunes, and just send any, like, if there's anything you want us to like preview, anything like that, just get in touch with us at Boy Tilton, at Steph Celan.
Yeah, and just so you know, you have to press the button, the 5-star button, otherwise your review won't work.
It's void. Yeah, and I'm looking at you, Santa.
You're very focused on the 5-star button element of the rating.
The
5-star
button. Yeah. Otherwise,
if there's a 6-star button, just press that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Good point. Well made.
Good point, and goodbye.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.